Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to Accelerate Your Business Growth,
where we're exploring all sorts of business topics. Experts from around the world join me, your host, Diane Helbig, for a conversation where they share their expertise with all of you. Take what you need when you need it. Featured on Inc.com, Forbes, and MSNBC's Your Business, this podcast is recognized as one of the best podcasts for small business, sales, leadership, social media, and more. When it comes to business, Accelerate Your Business Growth has got it covered. And now on with the show. My guest today is Jeremy Stretton. Jeremy is the founder and chief executive officer at Business Legal Lifestyle. I'm sorry, let's scratch that. Business Legal Life Cycle. He's the author of the Amazon number one best-selling book, The Business Legal Life Cycle. Business Legal Life Cycle Worldwide's aim is to provide access to legal advice for all small to medium-sized businesses around the world. Jeremy lives in Brisbane, Australia, a dad of two awesome kids, and loves to learn and help small business owners achieve their goals. Thanks so much for joining me today, Jeremy.
Thanks for having me, Diane. I'm looking forward to it.
I am as well. We're going to be talking about, you know, the legal side of business. And besides the fact that I think it's something that business owners avoid, which is something I want to talk to you about, it's so weird to me that they don't, a lot of them don't even think that they need any sort of legal side of their business, you know, outside of picking their company name or something. So I'd actually like to start with why you think some business owners do that avoiding of getting legal advice for their business.
Yeah, thanks, Diane. And it is something that is, I think, a huge problem in the small business community. And I see primarily two reasons. One, people see it as a cost, not an investment. So they see going to a lawyer or an attorney as a cost that they can just avoid, and they can just get advice from their friends. You know, in Australia, we call it barbecue advice. Yeah, you're at a barbecue with a bunch of your mates and they've done something some way. So you just do what they say and you'll do it their way. And so people will go, oh, well, I'll just do it that way. And so that's the first major problem. The second one is that, and I say this with all love for lawyers. I've been a lawyer for 20 years. Lawyers sometimes lord it over their clients, their knowledge or the language that we use. You know, we use big words that aren't necessary, that are intimidating for people who don't know what they are and what they mean. And so what I found is that because of that, people are not so much afraid, although that does come up, afraid of going to see a lawyer, that they're concerned that they're going to go and be made to feel like an idiot. Really, those are the two main reasons that I see that people don't get legal advice.
That's so interesting. I could see that. So let's flip it. Talk about why it's important for business owners to get legal advice for their business.
Yeah, and it's really because law is everywhere. Law is like, I like the analogy, law is like electricity. You know, you don't need to know exactly how it works until it stops working for you. And it's in every part of our day, no matter what your political persuasion is, no matter what your, you know, what type of business you're in, no matter where you are in life, whether you're an employee or a business owner, law is everywhere. Law comes into everything. So you need to understand what it is that you're dealing with, because if you don't understand what you're dealing with, how are you ever going to navigate the complex world that it is? And also, you know, I talked before about the cost and the fear of going to a lawyer. The fear can be very much taken away by empowering you with the knowledge about why people need certain legal aspects or what certain legal things mean, so that you can understand it. So understanding the law is in my view, is simply so important because of the fact that it's pervasive around everything that you do. And also, you can teach yourself it. You can understand the law without a law degree. And that makes people feel better and more comfortable going and approaching a lawyer and dealing with those matters when they know what they're talking about.
And you had said earlier about they see it as a cost, not an investment, but it can be pretty costly to have to fix something that you could have prevented if you had talked to a lawyer, right?
Absolutely. So one of my big frustrations with the law and why I came up with the concept of the life cycle in its entirety was this frustration I had with the law being reactive and people being reactive with the law rather than proactive. And it's like anything in life, Diane, if you're proactive and you prevent problems from arising, you end up saving a lot more money than it would cost you if you're just constantly reacting to problems. The problem is with that, as you would know, is that people don't see the cost of inaction until it actually happens to them. And by then it's too late. So I'm very, very passionate about business owners becoming more proactive with the law so that they do stop those problems. And there's such easy problems that they can stop from arising in their business if they just educate themselves and then get advice about what they need to do.
Well, I love that about being proactive. I totally agree with you. And I totally agree that the law is pretty reactive. So what are some of those things? What are some of those common mistakes or misconceptions from business owners, when it comes to the law?
I think probably my favorite one that I see that causes the biggest problem is where people think, I'll just do it and I'll ask for forgiveness later. You might have heard that. I think that's in many TV shows. I'll just do that and I'll ask for forgiveness later. The problem is that if you do that, then you don't know what the consequences of that might be. You don't know what the downside might be. And so people, for instance, one of the two main reasons why I came up with this concept, like the frustration that I felt, was two gentlemen who went into a business partnership to develop a high-rise building here in Queensland, in Australia. And they didn't get legal advice, just set up their own structure, didn't talk to anyone about how that should be structured, didn't talk to anyone about any sort of agreement between them. And they had completely divergent views of which way they wanted to go and what they wanted to do with what they were doing. And it ended up losing $1 million of other people's money and sending them both bankrupt, all because they didn't go and talk to a lawyer and get their structure set up properly and get an agreement done up, which we would call a shareholders agreement or a partnership agreement or a joint venture agreement or something like that, where they actually define what they were doing. And if they had done that, they probably would have realized that they should never have gone into business together. And so it's that kind of thing where, and can I say that that's an extreme example. I talk about this. I've been around the world. Pre-COVID, I traveled a lot to the US and the UK and talked about this. And this kind of thing happens all the time, where people just don't get that advice early on. It ends up costing them money and costing, in this case, $1 million of other people's money, all because they just didn't get advice at the beginning. And that was that for me, that was a real wake-up call of we as a profession need to do better.
No kidding. I mean, my goodness. When you say it, it's surprising. It's unfortunate, sort of surprising. And then you stop and you go, I could see people doing that. They get along. They think they are going to be able to solve any problem just by talking it through, but they haven't done anything to safeguard themselves against anything that could possibly happen that they're not thinking of at the time.
That's right.
Wow, that is crazy. Ugh, and I totally get it that's sort of happening everywhere. So someone's listening and they're thinking to themselves, oh boy, you know what? Maybe I need to get a business lawyer. Are there things that they should look for? Like, how do they choose a good lawyer?
It's a really good question. And it really comes down to a lot of your gut feel, but there's a few things that you can do to try and help that along. With any lawyer, especially in the business relationship, this is a relationship that you want. This is a relationship where you want someone to help you throughout your business journey. And I know for myself, I don't practice law much anymore. I'm more focused on spreading this word around the world. But I know as a lawyer, you know, I can help clients best when I can actually, you know, be their trusted advisor and be in it for the long haul with them. So you want a lawyer who's got that in mind, a lawyer who is going to help you through the journey of your business, who's going to help you through the journey of life as well, because, you know, business and life are so intertwined together. So it's really around finding someone who speaks plain English, I think is a really important thing, who is upfront with their costs. You know, we talked about the cost versus investment before. And, you know, one of the other big frustrations I have with law is time costing. And lawyers go, oh, yeah, I charge $500 an hour and the fee might be between $5,000 and $10,000. And that just builds distrust by the client. You know, when I was working as a corporate lawyer in the city, in Brisbane City, I should say, I was charging time and people would get on the phone and try and get off as quickly as they could because they knew that you were charging them by the 6 minute increment and you were encouraged to get the call the 7 minutes so that you could charge them for a 12 minute increment. And so you want someone who's upfront about their pricing, who's confident in their pricing too, because, you know, if they say, oh, it's going to cost between $5,000 and $10,000, that should be a red flag for you to say that maybe they don't know exactly what they're doing. So it's really around, you know, someone who's in it for the long haul, who can speak plain English, and also someone who can be transparent about the pricing, because if they're transparent about the pricing, as I say, they'll have more confidence, or you should have more confidence in their ability to deliver the service because they know what's involved.
Yeah, I think that's so interesting that you say that if they're giving you a range, that can be a red flag that they don't really know. Yeah. I wouldn't have thought of it that way.
Mm.
So let's talk about this business legal life cycle.
Yep.
What is that?
So it's a concept that I came up with. And as I said, there was the one where a client lost $1 million of other people's money and another one where a client almost lost $2 million of their own money. And I was sitting in my office one day and I was just frustrated. And at the time, my business coach and I were doing a bunch of work around business cycles. And I realized that there was a life cycle that businesses go through from the legal side of their business. So, you know, after a bit of going backwards and forwards and analyzing businesses that I'd acted for that did things well and the ones that did things poorly, I came up with this concept of the business legal life cycle, which is 13 phases of what business owners should do from the legal side of their business, when they should do it, and then who they should speak to. And it's funny, Diane, when I first started in business and first got a business coach, my coach, who's still my coach to today, he said to me, you're going to write a book one day. And I laughed at him and said, what lawyer writes a book? And then when I came up with this concept and these 13 phases, I was like, there's a book in that. And so I wrote the book. I had to ring him up and admit that he was right along.
Yeah.
And so the life cycle is 13 phases of what you should do and when you should do it. It doesn't go into and the life cycle's goal isn't to go into all the nitty gritty of everything that you need to do. And the reason for that is that, you know, you said in the intro, and my goal is to help all business owners around the world to get access to legal advice. And there's so many different legal systems and there's so many different permutations just in Australia, let alone the US or the UK, that any tool that I built that was going to do all of that was just going to take me 20 years to build. And the law would change significantly by then.
Right.
So the life cycle is a very broad concept of telling people what they need to do and when, and it's a guide for them to help so that they can understand what they need to do and then teach them what that actually means and why they need to do it. So then they can go to their lawyer and they can be empowered with that knowledge so that they go, okay, I understand why I need to take this step now, or maybe I don't need to take this step now because I'm not there yet in the cycle of my business. So the life cycle, as you can tell, is something that I'm very passionate about. I see it work, and I've done the analysis and partnered with lawyers in the US and the UK to make sure that what I have works in those countries as well and is right, and it is. And so it's something that it gives a framework for the business owners to really understand what they need to do, when they need to do it, and really build a great business that is protected.
That's really great, because that's the other thing that I think business owners don't realize is that your legal needs can change as your business grows or changes or, you know, as things happen in your business. And so you need to be aware of that, because a lot of business owners can just miss those things. It's not that they don't think about legal advice. It's that they don't know what they don't know.
Yeah, absolutely. It's that unconscious, and being unconsciously unaware. So it's about empowering people so they know what to do so that they can then go and prevent these problems from occurring.
Right, exactly.
At this time, I'd like to take a sponsor break. The Accelerate Your Business Growth podcast is happy to be sponsored by Audible.com. And I'm sure you know that Audible.com has thousands of audiobook titles to choose from, but you might not know about the other content. There's podcasts, Audible originals, guided meditations. My favorite thing is to be able to listen to different kinds of things all on the same platform. I think it's a time saver, and it's like a productivity hack for me. I don't have to go jumping from one platform to another. So we're offering you a free trial. You can go to audibletrial.com/businessgrowth, sign up for that free trial, and then explore on your own. You know, check out the audiobooks, check out the other programs, see what really, you know, resonates with you. Interested in getting some help with your sales strategy? Pick up a copy of Succeed Without Selling on Amazon or wherever books are sold.
So do you think the lawyer should be playing, how do I want to ask this question? Like a deeper role with their clients? Like, you know, are there ways that lawyers can help their clients get better results in their business?
Yeah, absolutely. And part of my plan around this is for lawyers to use this with their clients, because I think that lawyers do need to have a deeper relationship with their clients. I think especially their business clients, because so much changes in business. You know, like I've been in business for 10 years, and people have been in business for much longer than that. Things change all the time, and having that lifelong relationship, having that time to get to know someone means that you can give better advice as you go along. If you're constantly having to go to a new lawyer for every single thing that you do, then you are going to really struggle to get advice in a timely way and really in a consistent way as well. So, for any lawyers or attorneys listening to this, this is about helping you help your clients. This is about you providing a system for your clients so that you can build that lifelong relationship, which is great for you because repeat work from an existing client is better than getting a new client. But you actually get to help people as well, and you actually get to help them to reduce the risks in their business. So yeah, it's definitely something that I encourage lawyers and attorneys that I meet with all over the world to really think about how can they build that relationship with the client and really help them throughout their business journey.
Okay, so you just brought up something that's interesting for me about having to go from one attorney to another is probably not like the best thing, but it seems to me that in the legal field, because there is so much to it on the business side of things, that there are a lot of specializations like IP, just to name one. So is it really possible to avoid, is that like when you go to like a business legal firm where they have all of those different specialties?
Yes, I think when you need that kind of specialist advice, then you would go to a bigger firm that has all of those parts. What I would say too, though, is that if you have a general business lawyer, and I'm a general business lawyer as well, if there's something that I don't know as a lawyer, then rather than just trying to figure it out myself, I'd always bring in someone as that advisor to help with that specialist area. So you can still have the relationship, and that lawyer can still help you by helping you connect you with a lawyer and bring that lawyer up to speed with what you need. It's like with anything, it's like whether you have a coach or an accountant or anything, they don't know everything, but you have that long-term relationship with them, and they can help you to build through to other people and really avoid having to give a whole explanation going forward of what you're trying to achieve.
And then that sounds to me like then they could help you navigate that whole thing too. Like they would still want them involved.
Yeah, that's right. And look, there are plenty of great specialist lawyers out there, and there are some things that require that special advice.
Yeah.
Not everything does, though. Like, and really, they're there for the big disputes or the big, big questions, and they also need. They'll have clients that come to them who might need other advice, and so they need to be able to have a trusted relationship with another lawyer attorney. To be able to help them in that at that stage too. Otherwise, they lose the client too. So it's all a symbiosis. And as long as you've got that abundant mindset rather than the closed mindset, you can really help more people.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah, totally. It takes a village, so to speak. So, so let's talk about why it's important for business owners to have a plan for the future and what does that look like? Like, what's included in that plan for a future for the business?
I think it's always important to have a plan for what you're doing. And part of the life cycle is about, you might be in one of the 13 phases, and it helps you to understand what you need to do to prepare for the next phase. And why that's important is that life is constantly changing. And if you're not growing, Tony Robbins talks about, if you're not growing, you're dying. And I think that's true for business. If your business isn't growing, then it's dying. And so you always need to be looking for the future of what that entails. And we're recording this at the end of 2021. The world's just been through a tumultuous couple of years. And I know that the businesses that planned well, no one planned for COVID.
No.
But because they had the skill of planning, they were able to navigate a lot better through. So you never know what's going to happen. And I think that it becomes very, very important when you don't know what's going to happen to have a skill of planning so that when the next thing happens, whatever that might be, that you're ready to hit the ground running and go forward. And because otherwise you're just aimless and you're just heading off in any direction and you don't have that clarity of where you're going.
I love that phrase, the skill of planning. I've never heard that before. That's really great.
Mm. Well, I saw that, my business coach, I actually work with now, I'm doing some consulting work with him. And when COVID hit in Australia in March, April last year, the businesses that had done the hard yards of building the skill of planning got through it so much easier than the ones that didn't. They felt like they were well behind the eight ball because panicking to try and figure out what to do.
Yeah. And then you're trying to figure it out in a stressful, sometimes panicky situation where your brain doesn't work well then anyway. So, right.
We call it the crocodile brain here in Australia, but it's probably the alligator brain in America.
Exactly. That's exactly right. Yeah. I think that's really, really valuable. And it really does mean looking at every aspect of your business and making sure that you are getting, the right advice, the right input, feedback, whatever all those things are. Let's see. I have one more question for you. So having said all of this, what would you say is the number one mistake that business owners make in their businesses? Is there one that really shines through?
Yeah, it's really around not thinking through with the end in mind. You'd be familiar, Diane, with Stephen Covey's 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. And one of them, I think it's habit number two, is to start with the end in mind.
Yeah.
I actually find that, and in my, especially my consulting work, but my dealing with business owners, is that people actually find that scary. They think, I don't want to think about the end. That's so far in the future. So I actually change that when I talk to people and say it's starting with an end in mind. So it's having some sort of end in mind and knowing that might change. If you had told me 10 years ago that I would have written a book and, when I first started my law firm, that I would have written a book and I'd be talking on podcasts and going around the world, I probably would have laughed at you, right? But my goals and where I wanted to go in life changed. And people need to embrace the fact that things might change, but you need to have some direction to go. I think the stats, and I may be wrong about this, but the Apollo 11, when it was on its way to the moon, was on course something like 2-3% of the time, but they knew where they were going, so they were constantly able to adjust and bring themselves back to the right pathway to get to the moon. And I see that very analogous with business. You have your end goal in mind, and you might choose to go left, and maybe you should have gone right, or maybe you shouldn't have gone as left or right as you wanted to go. And you've just got to constantly realign back to that metric. So it's have a plan, have some idea about where you're going, and then revisit that on a regular basis to make sure that you're aligned with what you're doing.
Yeah, I love that. I think that is so very important, because you really do have to be flexible. Like, you know, what I say to small business owners is, okay, we're going to create a strategy. Nothing's in concrete. Concrete just doesn't exist, but we have to start somewhere, and then we're going to monitor it to make sure that it's going to the place that we want to go. And if it's not, then we can make adjustments, but we don't want to get too far down the road and realize we took the wrong road and now we are lost.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really important. Yeah. Wow. So, Jeremy, I love this information. I love this whole concept of this business legal life cycle. And I'm so glad that, you know, you wrote the book and are doing this sort of work. Will you share with the listeners how they can find you, how they can, you know, get all this information?
Yeah, thank you. And thank you for having me on too. I really enjoy podcasts, and I really enjoy talking, because I know that I'm talking really to business owners. So thank you for the opportunity. There's two main ways. I'm very active on LinkedIn. So if listeners go to LinkedIn and search for my name, Jeremy Stretton, and just check the show notes of the spelling of my last name, I'm the only one with that name that I've at least active on the internet. So you'll find me pretty easily on LinkedIn. But also we've done up a page, businesslegallifecycle.com/AYBG for Accelerate Your Business Growth. So AYBG. And if the listeners go there, one of the aspects of our tools that we have for business owners is a test that actually lets you figure out where you are in the life cycle and what you're missing from your business from a legal perspective, and helps you plan for the future. We normally charge $97 for that, but as a thank you for having me on, there's a code there, you can do it for 50% off. And it's about $1,000 like of legal value. So if you go to a lawyer or an attorney, they're going to charge you about $1,000 to get this picture of your business. And listeners can get that for $50 if they're interested in it. And there'll also be some great free resources. We provide a lot of content on there as well. If the listeners want to go in and check out answers to their questions, there's well over 500 pages of answers to questions that business owners ask in a very straightforward and plain English way, so that they can understand what they need to do as well.
I love that plain English. Thank you for that.
That's all right. And I will say that's Australian English, but it's very, very similar. The main changes is you use some Z's or Z's, as you call them, and we use the S's. So I'm sure the listeners will be able to understand the difference.
They'll just think you spelled it wrong. That's all. But, you know, that's okay. We'll let them think that. Oh my gosh, Jeremy, thank you so much for this. I really appreciate it. I think you're doing some great work.
Thanks so much, Diane.
Absolutely. Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Accelerate Your Business Growth, a production of Evergreen Podcasts. Discover more episodes of this podcast and explore others at evergreenpodcast.com. As always, continue to prosper and be curious. And if you're looking to get your sales strategy headed in the right direction, pick up a copy of Succeed Without Selling on Amazon or wherever books are sold. Until we meet again on another episode of Accelerate Your Business Growth, goodbye and good day.
The world's best-known investor and Wall Street expert, Warren Buffett, once said, "Wall Street is the only place that people ride to in a Rolls Royce to get advice from those who take the subway." Mr. Buffett's quote is remarkably accurate, but how many people would rather receive advice from him than someone simply guessing? Welcome to Buy, Hold, Sell, your single source for Wall Street knowledge and profitable guidance. Please join me, Todd Schoenberger, and fellow trader Tobin Smith, as well as host Veronica Dudo, for a podcast known to move the needle for investors. Tobin and I are seasoned Wall Street executives with deep investment experience, and we are prepared to share our advice to those who choose to listen. Download Buy, Hold, Sell today on the Evergreen Podcast Network or your favorite podcast channel.